The Radio Friends with Paul Pepper podcast is supported on KBIA by Moberly Regional Medical Center. From the flu to more serious health issues, the ER team at Moberly Regional has the knowledge and care to handle all types of injuries and illnesses. When you have an emergency, don't delay. Trust the ER team at Moberly Regional Medical Center at 1515 Union Avenue and at MoberlyHospital.com.
And welcome to Radio Friends on Friday, February the 7th. You know, yesterday we had Mary Ratcliffe on our show talking about Black History Month. It's all through the month of February. Today we've got Larry Brown on, and you've got a story that
Good morning. Yes, I want to talk about Black History in Missouri and an event that very important, one would say trend-changing event that happened in 1939 in the Boot Heel of Missouri.
Is this a true?
It's true. This will be true.
So, Larry Brown,
yes,
to share that story with you.
Imagine this scene, January 10th, 1939, nearly 300 poor black and white sharecroppers are lined up on two highways, Highway 60 and 61. Cold, frigid day. They had come the night before, built kind of crude tents and shanties, and had camped out. It was a protest, and that event in 1939 began to make a very important difference in the history of civil rights for not only Missouri, but perhaps the rest of the country. The last years of the Great Depression, 1936 to 1939, were very difficult, particularly on agricultural workers, but so intensified for sharecroppers. Folks who depended upon wealthy landowners to just give them a portion, even though they were working sun up to sun down for pay that would maybe be equivalent of 75 cents a day, but owned nothing, didn't own the land, didn't own the equipment, didn't own the mules, and so on. Now, in particular, I wanted to talk about the cotton pickers in the Boot Heel of Missouri. Those are the ones who came out that January morning. The federal government in 1938 passed what was called the Agricultural Adjustment Act to get the price of cotton to come up. Well, to do that, they were paying the landowners not to grow cotton. So about a third of the cotton land was reduced, and then the government would give a check to the landowners. Now, ideally, they were to share that money with their workers, but that wasn't necessarily happening because of racism and historic patterns that the sharecroppers were essentially slaves, even though they were paid workers. But since they owned nothing, what the wealthy landowners would do would just kick them off the land. Well, I don't have as many workers. I don't have to pay them. So a lot of folks were getting dispossessed of a place to live, forced off the land. In 1938, it directly affected perhaps more than 1,000 workers in the Boot Heel of Missouri. But there appeared a Reverend Owen Whitfield. He had been a sharecropper, but gotten a seminary education, was pastoring a church. 1936, he'd been inspired by another black minister, a traveling evangelist, who said, "Put your faith to work." And Owen Whitfield joined what was then called the Southern Tenant Farmers Union. He began to be an organizer, eventually became president, and started to get poor sharecroppers to organize for their rights and for better conditions. And so it was at his initiative that prompted this protest among the folks who'd been kicked off the land. So between 250 and 300 people came out that night, the next day, and for the next several days. Well, the news media began to pick it up. And then the federal government got attention. Franklin Delano Roosevelt sent someone especially to find out what was happening, and it began to be an embarrassment to the state of Missouri. So the health department went in and with troopers and trucks moved all of these people out to about 10 different sites out of the visibility of the mainstream because they'd been along these two main highways, 60 and 61. Well, as that word got out then, other folks started paying attention, and one Dr. Lorenzo Green, who was a history professor at Lincoln University in Jefferson City, went to visit these camps. When he came back, told his students, they got inspired, and they raised money and food and all sorts of help, clothing, and then another group organized by Fannie Cook in St. Louis joined with them, and they bought for these people 93 acres outside of the city of Poplar Bluff, and it was called Cropperville. Well, that was the summer of 1939. Well, that prompted then other government agencies to do more, and by In the next couple of years, then, the Delmo Homes was set up, and a lot of these folks got to have permanent places to live. Well, it was a symbol of hope. It really was one of those beginning acts that produced the modern civil rights movement, this demonstration. The poorest of the poor, powerless, finding power, making life better. One person wrote, in January of 1939, Reverend Owen Whitfield woke up the cotton slaves. But what it really was courage in the face of injustice. And again, setting in motion what we now look back and say, that was civil rights. But it was in 1939 that the momentum started.
That was a beautiful story, Larry. And that was true. That happened in January.
January 10, 1939 was the first morning of the protest. And of course, it happened over then several days until they moved in and dispersed these families. And then the developments occurred over the next 2 years as housing was developed and other government agencies got involved.
Now, what excuse were they using for dispersing these families?
Well, with the Agricultural Adjustment Act of 1938, it basically meant about one-third of the acreage was taken out of production so the cotton prices would come up. So they didn't need those extra workers. They only needed like two-thirds of the workers. Now, some of the worker displacement had already been going on earlier in the Depression as cotton prices were going down and as mechanization was also coming in. So we already had some displacement, and this would just sort of pushed it over the edge. Now, the property owners were supposed to share. When Owen Whitfield, for example, went to get what he thought was his check, he was given a used suit of clothes.
Mm.
He had 12 children to feed.
And he was given a used suit of clothes.
Yes. And then other of these people, so the landowners would just say to the sharecroppers, well, I don't need you anymore. And since they owned nothing, I mean, they were...
They were done.
I mean, they lived in houses perhaps on the farm, but didn't own those houses. And so they were just go. And yeah. So they were literally homeless.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of history. If you want to find out more, simply go to Google and you can put in Black History.
Sure.
And I'm sure some stories will come up that will
there's
bring
been
tears
a,
to your eyes.
A documentary film made about this episode that you can view, and some of our own folks here with the Missouri History Society have done research on it. So it's a lot of stuff about that and other events.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Larry.
You're welcome.
If you want more information about Larry and his storytelling and singing and CDs and DVDs, how do they get in touch with you?
Brownstory.com, www.brownstory.com, or you may email me at brownstory@hotmail.com.
All right. Larry Brown, thank you so much for coming up. We're out of time for today. Monday, we've got some barbershop music for you. Chuck Bey and his quartet will be on. They'll be singing for Valentine's Day. Our program, directed by Travis McMillan of the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Audio is Pat Akers from KBIA. Our floor director is Casey Morrell, and our assistant producer and guest coordinator, Uncle James Mauser. And if something you'd like to hear or see, drop me an email. I'd love to hear from you. PepperP, Missouri.edu.